I've got just something real simple tonight, and I don't have much notes, so hopefully we get done real quick. It's just one simple little thought, and I hope you'll listen. Isaiah chapter 51, I'm going to read verses 12 through 13. All right, are you there? All right, let's back up to 11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Wonderful, ain't it? I, even I, am he that cometh, that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The whole thing here that I'm wanting to talk about is remembering God. He says, how can you forget me? And be afraid of men. I'm God. I stretched out the heavens. I laid the foundations of the earth. Man is grass. Why are you afraid of him? You think on him. You're concerned about him. And you just forget about me. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 18. He said, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. And hast forgotten God that formed thee. Now I want to read one more verse. It's in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. Jeremiah 2:32. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Well, pretty sad, ain't it? Pretty bad when somebody forgets you, isn't it? Somebody that ought to love you. Somebody that really knows you. You know, we, Esther worked in the nursing home. We've seen these things all the time. We see it a lot more nowadays than what I think it used to be with older folks, and they lose their mind and they don't know you. We've talked about it, how sad it would be. I saw a thing the other day. I was reminded of it. It was a thing where this young man took his mother out of the nursing home, took her out to get ice cream and stuff. And he filmed the whole thing, and he was asking her questions like, and she didn't know who he was. She didn't know who his father was. And I mean, she just totally forgotten. And we talk about how hard that would be. It'd be harder than if they had died and went on. Yeah, this man said that. It would have been easier for me to deal with if she had died instead of just forgot everything. She's still there. She still talked, her voice, her eyes. I mean, she could eat her ice cream. She just seemed as normal as could be, except she just forgot everybody and everything. Well, how do you think God feels when we just live our lives and forget that he even exists, or act like he doesn't exist, or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When somebody forgets you, and then they don't regard you or your feelings or your love for them. And they go off and do something, you know, that's hurtful to you, that's hurtful, isn't it? That's exactly what God's saying in these verses. Three times he's told us here. I could find more in the Bible. But he's given us three times here where he specifically said, you forgot me. My people have forgotten me days without number. He said, can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? Of course not. Guarantee you, all you girls remember exactly what flowers you had, who were your bridesmaids. I mean, everything about it. Don't forget. But yet my people have forgotten me days without number after all I've done for them. All right. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Please help us, Lord, in just a few minutes here to look at this and be reminded of something here that we need to pay attention to in our own life. And help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you forgotten God? Have you? What part does God have in your life? Now, I want everybody here to think about that. What part does he have in your life? For real. Now, I'm not talking about just what you say. I'm not talking about just coming to church on Sunday or whenever. I'm not talking about what you project. I'm talking about how it really is in your life. What part does God have in your life? How often do you think of God and consider Him? How often do you think of God and consider Him? Really. I mean, consider Him. Inquire of Him. Seek His will. Seek His mind, His heart in a matter of your life or whatever. I mean, how often do you do that? How will you remember God tomorrow while you're at work? I mean, 24 hours from now, you'll done be done with another day's work. But I mean, I'm talking about like, what is it, 12, 14 hours from now, you'll be at work. So all of you be at work somewhere, working. You going to remember God? Or is He just something that's on Sunday? Is He something that you just do in your certain times and the rest of the time He's out of sight, out of mind? Is it like that? Will you remember Him tomorrow while you're at work, surrounded by chatter and profanity of the world around you? Will you think of God? Will you remember Him? Will you remember God as you drive to work tomorrow or on your way home from work? Will you remember God? Or will He be gone out of your mind and thoughts? Will you be thinking about something else? Will He be far from your thoughts, or is He anywhere near? How often do you think of Him? He said, "My people have forgotten me days without number." Will you remember God when you get up in the morning? Or when you lay down at night? A lot of people now remember when they lay down at night because they're afraid they might die during the night, and they don't want to die without saying goodbye to God, you know, or saying howdy to God, or giving God a thumbs up before they go to sleep. You know that's true. Yes. About everybody does that. Even lost people do that. They do. Lots of them do. Before they go to sleep, they'll say, "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me," and all that. So they can go to sleep with some kind of a... They remember God then. You remember God if you're in trouble. You remember God if you get bad news. You remember God if you got something that's overwhelming, some need, some burden, something that you got to do that's overwhelming for you. If it's beyond your strength and ability and to pay or do or whatever, well then it's, "Oh Lord, oh Lord." But what about the rest of the time? Does it take a tragedy? Does it take a terrible need? Does it take something awful in your life to get you to think of God? Shouldn't. No, it shouldn't. Will you remember Him? Will you remember God while you're being entertained by whatever it is that you like to entertain yourself with? I should have said amused. Amused. Because that's what we do. You know, the old thing, muse is to think. Amuse is to no think. It means you're not thinking. You turn on a TV. Pick up your phone. You do something. You just you put your mind. You throw her in neutral and let somebody else do the. You just coast. While you're doing that, will you think of God? Reckon you will. Probably not. No, not thinking. You're being amused. Being entertained. There's very little room in our life for that. Do you know that? We ain't got time for that. We need to be applying every minute we've got to the things that matter. Do you regard God or care to know what He thinks about the things you do and the decisions you make? Do you regard Him about that? The things you're thinking about, even right now. Do you regard God? Do you think of God and say, "I wonder how God looks at this"? Are you aware of God's presence in your life? Or is it just something, is He like the spare tire in your trunk that you never pay no attention to and you never check on it or nothing until you need it? Is that what He's like? Is He like the fire extinguisher that just hangs somewhere and you never pay attention to it until you need it? The insurance man was here the other day and he was looking for fire extinguishers. Well, I'm glad there's a few hanging around because he seemed to be okay with it. Do you know where they're at? Brother Mike does, but I'll bet you the rest of us don't pay much attention, do you? Wonder how many of you know where there's a fire extinguisher right now. I mean, but see, that's the way we do God. We ain't going to have no fire. Ain't going to be no mercy. We ain't going to need that fire extinguisher until you need it. And then you go. Then you think of it. Where's that? Where's that? Where's that? That's the way everybody does with God. Oh, God, where are you? How could you let this happen? Why'd you let this happen to me? You know, you see all these people saying these things about like all the school shootings. They say, why is God let this happen? Well, they kicked God out a long time ago. What are you blaming it on him for? God was in there. It wouldn't be happening. Will you remember God before you allow profanity and filth to come out of your mouth or post it on your Facebook account for everybody else to see? Will you remember God? I know a lot of people who don't. They just do it anyway. You know, just let her go. All kinds of blasphemy and profanity and act like they don't see it or something. Or they don't care. I promise you, they're not thinking of God. One thought, one little flighting thought of God, and they wouldn't push that button. They wouldn't say that filth. But they don't think of God. They've forgotten him. Forgotten him. Will you, if you forget God, you'll lose your way. And your life will have no real meaning. You understand? If you forget him, you're going to lose your way. You're going to get lost in the darkness if you forget God. He's the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light of the world. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I always get it backwards. But anyway, he's the light that guides us. Without him, we can't see. We don't know where we're going. And if we forget him, we're going to get lost in this world and in the sin and darkness of this world. When you forget God, you'll find yourself in deep trouble someday with more problems and heartache than you can handle. And Jeremiah says this in chapter 13, verse 25. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Did you hear that? I just told you, if you forget God, you're going to get lost. You're going to be confused and lost in the darkness. And God says, this is your lot. And this is the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because that thou hast forgotten me. And trusted in falsehood. You forgot me. You believe lies. This is what you get. Trouble. Bad trouble. God doesn't forget you. Did you ever think about that? You forget God, but he don't forget you. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Isaiah 49:15. That's what God said. He said, a woman, as absurd and unbelievable as it may sound, a woman might forget her child. You see it every summer. They forget them and leave them in a hot car and they die. Well, you know, that's inexcusable. But I remember coming home from church one time many years ago, and David was just a baby, and we all got home, went in the house on Sunday night, and we was just getting ready to eat something, and, you know, we was just having a big time. Somebody said, where's the baby? He's in the car. We left him in the car. So, you know, it was dark. It wasn't hot or nothing, but, I mean, we forgot him. Now, y'all don't have to worry about Lucas, because he will remind you. But really, we might forget, but God says, yet will not I forget thee. You don't have to worry about God forgetting about you. He's not going to get occupied with his business and forget about you. He's not going to be carried away with his own cares and interests and entertainment and deals and forget you. And that's pretty wonderful. It's a pretty good thing that it's that way for us. It's a good thing that he is not like us. If he remembered us like we remember him, we'd be in big trouble. If he treated us the way we treat him, life would really be rough for us. But this deal about being saved, being a child of God, being adopted into his family, being a co-laborer with Christ and God, all the things that are said about salvation and what it does for us, you know, if it was just a one-sided thing, it'd be a pretty lousy thing, wouldn't it? I mean, if he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, then you ought to be willing to say to God, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's not too much to ask. That's not unreasonable. That's not fanatical. It's not craziness. It's just plain old reason. It's like when a man and woman get married, and what kind of a marriage would it be if she had to vow to love and obey and cherish him and he didn't have to promise her nothing? That'd be a pretty bad deal, wouldn't it? It doesn't work that way. It's a mutual covenant. And that's what salvation is, too. Yes, sir. This ain't all a one-sided deal where God just gives us everything and then nothing's expected of us. God grieves because we forget him. It's just wonderful that God is merciful and kind and forgiving and long-suffering as he is, or we'd all be in hell right now. If he was as uninvolved in our lives and our cares as we are in his, we'd have no hope and life would have no blessings. How involved are you in what God cares about? It's what I'm talking to you about passing out tracts and about speaking to people and about inviting people to church and trying to make a difference in other people's lives. That's what God's about. That's what our charge, that's what our commission is as a church, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what God cares about. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then he charged us with the mission. And that's what God's work is all about. That's what God cares about. That's what he is about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so how involved are we in his work? You, how involved are you in his what God cares about? Oh, you want him being caring about you in every little piddly thing of your life, you know? If you lose something, you want him to help you find it. If you need money, you want him to provide for you. If you got trouble with somebody, you want him to help you with that. You want God to help you in every little thing of your life. You don't want him to be far from you, but you're willing to put him far away if you need to seek after your own interests. But how much do you involve yourself in his interests? A home's not a very happy place. A marriage is not a good thing if neither one of them's interested in the other, or if one of them's interested in the other's life, but the other one's not. You understand what I'm saying? If the husband just goes to work and his life's just all about his work and his career and all of the people he's around all the time, and his wife just lives at home and she hears about his life, but he never asks nothing. He doesn't care anything about what she does, what her interest is, what she wants, and what her time goes for. Ain't going to be a very good deal, is it? Ain't going to work out too well in the long run. You know, we share things, don't we? How'd your day go? Well, what happened? Well, that's all. I don't know. And what about you? Well, when it comes to God, it works kind of that way too. You got to spend time with God, not just so you'll benefit. You know, you need to pray and talk to God, not just for your benefit. You need to thank God and bless him, not just for your benefit, for your feelings, to help you and strengthen you and all that. I mean, it ain't all about us. It's about God. Don't y'all... You need to turn it around and look at this thing. It is all about God. It's not about us. The fact that we are admitted into the kingdom is just a wonderful blessing that is just extra and undeserved and all that. But we ought to be involved in God's, what God cares about, God's work, God's cares. He said to Israel, he said, I am broken with your whorish heart. Think about that. God said that. I am broken with your whorish heart. Always a whoring after your other gods and forgetting me. Yeah, God, it affects God. It touches God. It hurts God when we forget Him. When we're taken up with something else. When all of our mind and attention is on something else. When our affections are set on something else. He's a jealous God. And He doesn't deserve that. He deserves all. What are we supposed to do? What's the first and great commandment? You hear it often here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. That's the first and great commandment. You're to love Him supremely, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and not forget Him. If He was as uninvolved in our lives and our cares as we are in His, we wouldn't have no hope, that's for sure. If He didn't put no more into your life than you put into His, how would that go? What would you have? Well, you wouldn't have no children. You wouldn't have no joy. You wouldn't have no life, no blessings, really. Life would be really hard for you. But it's just amazing and wonderful that God ain't like that. He reigns. He sends His reign upon the just and the unjust. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Amazing, ain't it? Ain't you glad God's that way? When I get these tracts here this week, I want you to read that and just take notice of what the man says about nature showing that God. Nature. I mean, for in Him we see all of the, even His eternal power and Godhead is clearly seen in the creation. Oh, yes. This God, the one that I'm describing to you, you can see Him in all of nature. Remember the Lord in all that you do. The Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 4 and 5, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgment of His mouth. To remember. You know, we need to understand what we're saying. The old timers used to use a word more accurate than us. They'd say recollect. Do you recollect? You ever hear old timers talking like that? Well, I recollect. They recollected. You remember. You bring it back to your remember, or to your memory, to your rememberer, your memory, your memory. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. I sound like George Bush. All right. God said He wouldn't remember our sins and iniquities anymore. I don't mean He's forgotten. Everybody, they misplace the words. And they say, well, God forgot all about it. No, He didn't. Nobody ever forgets. You don't forget your sin. Nobody else forgets your sin. God doesn't forget your sin. The only thing the Bible says about it is that He said, I will not remember it. My mind's not going to go there and dredge it up and hash it all over again. It's put away. That's what it's all about. Now, when we remember God, we do it on purpose. We do it willfully. It's an act that you have to do willfully. It ain't something you just wait on to happen. You don't wait on something to remind you of it. You remember it on purpose. You exercise your mind, your memory. There's other verses that it talks about here where, you know, I will remember the days of old. I'll remember my song in the night. I call to remembrance my song in the night. That's how you do it. You do it on purpose. And when you do it on purpose enough, then you begin to do it habitually. You form a habit of it. It becomes a habit of your life. It becomes what you are, what you do. You remember God. You remember God in everything. You think of Him often. You don't live without Him. You don't walk without Him. You walk with God like Enoch did, like Elijah did, like the other men in the Bible did. That's what walking with God means. You remember Him. He's an ever-present person with you. He's not something that you just, He's not a concept. He's not something that you just think of occasionally. He's always there. Those in the Bible who truly got right with God resolved to remember God in all of their ways. Here it is, Psalm 77, verse 10 through 12. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Now there, he made up his mind that he's going to remember, he's going to remember, he's going to remember, and he's going to meditate on what he remembered. His mind's going to be taken up with God and remembering Him and putting Him in a practical place in his life. Remember Him when you get up in the morning. First thing you ought to think about is God. You remember Clifford Rice, I don't know. Do you remember him, Seth? Okay. I know. I lose track of things. And I was thinking of something the other day. I said the other night. And I thought, you know, they wasn't nobody there even understood what I was talking about. I know what it was. When I said last Wednesday night about being born again, and I said that ain't what Jimmy Carter did. Some of you don't even know who Jimmy Carter was. You have no idea. If you do know who he was, you don't have no idea what I'm talking about. I thought, got to wake up, Mike. It's a different world around you here. Jimmy Carter ran for president, and he was born-again Christian. I mean, he made a big deal of being a born-again Christian. Yeah, he hates Israel. He's as liberal as they come for abortion and everything else. He ain't born again. Anyway, that's just another deal. But remember him when you get up in the morning. You know, that's what you ought to do. I started to say about Brother Rice. That's what he'd say. He'd say, I wake up in the morning, open my eyes, and he'd say, I would say, good Lord, it's morning. But he said, when I got really right with God, he'd say, I'd open my eyes, and I'd say, good morning, Lord. Brother Earl said he laid in the bed and woke up, and he said, he opened his eyes and said, well, Lord, what would you have me to do today? He said, the Lord said, this clears a bell. He said, this is clear as a bell. He said to me, first thing I want you to do is get out of bed. About 10:30 in the morning, he said. And I thought, oh my goodness, Brother Earl. You ought to think of him when you wake up of a morning. Really? It's a picture of death and resurrection. If you open your eyes in the morning and you become conscious again that there's a world around you and you're still alive, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. I'm alive again. One more day. One more chance. But we forget him, don't we? We jump out of bed and the first thing we start thinking about is the things we got to do and then what all we want to look at before we leave. You walk through the day and do your work. Think of God. It'll help you. It helps you. Gary, at Walmart. Dakota, it'd help you. Remember God. In the midst of all the crowd and the confusion and the all the adversity of it all, just remember God. Just remember Him. When you lie down at night to sleep, remember God. What if you don't, you know, we tell the kids, you know, there's a little kid's prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake, which you might do. I know some people who lived in this town whose little 4-year-old girl went to bed one night and she didn't wake up. She died that night. It ain't ridiculous. It's not an impossibility. It's not an absurdity. It happens. So remember God. A lot of people die in their sleep. Brother Owen had a sister. married, young woman, healthy, everything fine. About 4 o'clock in the morning, one morning, she just sat up in the bed, died like that. Had a brain aneurysm, and she died instantly. It happens. Remember God before you go to sleep at night. Better make sure everything's right between you and God before you go to sleep at night. Better not go to sleep without a clear conscience before God. When you're dealing with other people, remember God. When you're dealing with other people. When you're driving on the road with them, remember God. They're aggravating, ain't they? Remember God. Remember how patient He is. You wait on these people because they're going so slow. I come up behind a guy on A Highway the other day on a scooter doing about 25. His knees were sticking out like this. He had both knees sticking straight out. He's just about this high off the ground. Well, just remember how long God waited on you. Just remember how long He waits on you all the time for you to get things together and to get with it and to get busy and to do what He wants you to do. Remember, just remember God and how much patience He has had and still has with you. When you're dealing with other people, remember God. When you make important decisions in your life, you sure better remember God. Do I really need to marry this person? Do I really need to go to work here? Do I really need to be friends with this person? Do I really need to buy this thing? Do I really need to make this kind of commitment? You better remember God. You better seek His counsel. And before you yield to temptation and sin, you better remember God. Before you yield. When the pressure's on, you better remember God. You better run to God. He'll make a way of escape, but you got to run to Him. You can't run to your own devices. You can't run from it to somewhere else. You better run to God. And you ain't going to unless you remember Him. Remember God. He remembers you. Yeah. Call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. They called unto Me in their trouble, and He heard their prayer and helped them. How many times did He do that in the Bible? Oh, lots of times. They did Him so wrong. They forgot Him and they pushed Him aside and they blasphemed and forgot Him. But then they got in their big trouble and they cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard them because He hadn't forgotten them. You need to be thankful to God that He's that way, that He don't forget you. You need to ask God to forgive you for forgetting Him. And you ought to resolve in your heart and mind that you ain't going to do it. And you're going to form a habit of remembering God in everything you do. Everywhere you go. All your dealings. All your thinking. All your opinions. God needs to be above it all. Amen. All right, well, let's stand. Say, I told you I'd hurry tonight. I know I tell you that every time and you never believe me. And I look at the thing when I get down and I say, oh my God, I wish I'd just not said nothing at the beginning. Remember God. Remember His work. Remember what He cares about. Don't take time off. I don't see where there's any holidays in the work of God. Is there? There's no discharge from this army. No, we're in it for the... Yep. And we need to be persistent, consistent, and steady. And press on. Not long to go, folks. Not long to go. Bow with me and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the time here together tonight and for this reminder about disciplining our own self and our mind and not being distracted by all the noise and the voices around us and all of the temptations and the things that draw our attention off of Thee and from the things that You care about. Pray, Lord, You'd help us to be more diligent about Your work. And Lord, in order to do that, We're going to have to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're going to have the mind of Christ. And when we look at lost people, we're going to have to look at them through His eyes. And we're going to have to feel in our heart what You feel. And we're going to have to be concerned and burdened about the things that You're concerned and burdened about. And Lord, give us wisdom and help in all of this. And help us, Lord, to not only just hear this tonight, but to go out of here and do it. Do it from now on, consistently, steady. This is not something we need to just have a little spurt of enthusiasm about and then wither away. Lord, I pray this would be something we would implement in our life and keep it there. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sing a chorus. Anybody got one in your mind? Somebody think of a chorus real quick. Of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return
and come with
singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain.
They shall obtain.
Gladness and joy and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. All right. Appreciate everybody being here. Have a good week. Remember the Lord. Come back Wednesday night. We'll be here, Lord willing. God bless you. You're dismissed.